After being here for 20 years, I thought it might be good to go back to the fundamentals of our Christian life. And so I started this series earlier this summer. We have talked about prayer because that's one of the fundamentals of the Christian life. And we looked at the Lord's Prayer. We looked at our prayer life in terms of how we affect other people and all that. We looked at intercessory prayer. And now we're in the section on worship. And last Sunday we talked about worship, but in terms of our health and how that works in terms of giving us wholeness and completeness. Today I want to talk about worship, but how it gives us identity and destiny or purpose in terms of our lives. So let's pray for the message and see what God can tell us. Lord, I ask that you speak through me today, that you use the words I use, that you would give them life and give them meaning for us all in terms of how we live our lives. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody here today wants to know the answer to two questions during this life. Now, some people discover the answer to these questions early in life, and others never discover the answer to these two questions. Many people answer these two questions in terms of the world, and others discover the true answer, which is in the realm of the spiritual world. Most people begin to ask the question seriously during their teenage years, after which the process can go on even until death. The two questions that we ask in terms of our lives here on earth are, who am I really? And the second is, what am I to do with my life? Now, inherent in the answer to these two questions, you will find out if a person is at peace in this life or not. And as I said, these two questions we will ask in life. All of us do it in some form or other. Those are the ones. Just as a side note, because I can only do it seriously for so long. You know what the two most asked questions in heaven and hell are, don't you? What are you doing here? And where's so-and-so? But those are questions are when we're dead. But I want to talk about the question we ask while we're still alive. Who am I really? And what am I to do with my life? Now, people answer this question in terms of this world like this. My name is Kennedy, and therefore I am in politics. Or my name is Ford, and I am in cars. Or my name is such and such family, and I am in the family business, whatever that is. My name is Smith, and I am Baptist. My name is Jones. I am Methodist. I'm from Kentucky. I race horses, or I grow tobacco. I'm from Detroit, and I make cars. I remember seeing a Korean pastor who came to the United States, and when he first came, he couldn't understand English or didn't have a good grasp of the English language. And he was in a conference, and he was introduced as a model preacher with a warm personality. Well, he didn't really know. So he went to the dictionary, and he looked up model. And it said a small version of the real thing. and then he looked up warm, and it's not so hot. So that was his identity all day. So anyway, just a side note. All these answers, though, are based on things of this world. Who am I and what am I about? They will pass away if they're just of this world and have no eternal value. They therefore leave us with nothing when they pass away. These are ways of identifying ourselves in terms of this world. But when they disappear, we come right back to the two questions. Who am I really? And what am I to do and be? And the answer to those two questions come in worship of God as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about worship services like what we're doing here today, but I'm talking about worship. Worship services can be worship, but they may just take up your time. Worship is to honor or reverence as like a divine being or a supernatural power or to regard with great respect, even extravagant respect and honor or devotion. In other words, I might say, I worship the ground she walks on. because I love her. Now, worship is that kind of devotion. And worship of God is where we discover our true identity, and through that we discover our purpose in life as well. Now, I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, and then I'm going to have you join me on verses 10 and 11. This is Moses' encounter at the burning bush. Now, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, in this scripture in Exodus, we find Moses seeking to find out who he is. Read with me verses 10 and 11. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Now, through it, we get a great big disclosure of who God is. Moses, in the process of talking out his fears and his doubts in the presence of the Lord, asked the Lord a question. He says, Lord, who am I to bring these people out? And the Lord gives him an answer. Let's read together verse 12. He said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. And when you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, as you read this, I don't know if it hits you funny or not, but it sure hit me funny. What's the question that Moses asked? Who am I? Right? Say it with me. Who am I? Now, here's the answer. I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, let me translate that for you. Moses says, who am I? And the Lord says, you go bring these people to this mountain, and you will worship me here on this mountain. Now, friends, I don't know about you, how that strikes you, but it doesn't sound to me like a very straight answer to the question. That's less than fulfilling to me. When I first read it, I said, hey, that doesn't go with the question. That sounds like a politician's answer. So, I can just hear Moses' thoughts. You know, I take him out of stained glass, think about it. Gee, thanks, God. I really appreciate your presence and all that, and I think that's nice about coming to worship you here, but you didn't say, who am I? You know, Lord, I would have least appreciated you telling me, hey, Moses, you're nobody. But God, he didn't even say that. He didn't answer the question. He did not answer the question directly. But the answer actually is inherent in what he said. And in fact, God was giving the most direct answer that any person can really learn in terms of who they are and what your purpose is. The answer to your identity is really wrapped up in God's identity. If you want to know who you are, then you need to come and find out who the Lord is. And the way that you do that is not by coming and asking God a few questions, but you come and you humble yourself before God in obedience and worship. He will reveal himself to those who humble themselves before him. It is true that God did not answer the question directly to Moses. He answered the question by saying, "Look, Moses, you just do what I tell you." And that's the answer to the question. And God is saying that the key to your identity, Moses, lies in my promise and my presence in your life and my purpose for you. And if you'll bring the people to worship me here on this mountain, I will show myself to them. And that is what is meant by the sign in this scripture when he said, this will be the sign for you that I have sent you. Now, if you think about that, his identity and purpose is in that. You go and bring the people to worship me. This is the sign of who you really are, Moses. The heart of this whole meeting with God in Scripture and the heart of each of us getting a foundation on life is discovering how God works with us people and what he does with us. This is true in your personal life or your family life. It is true in the life of this church. It is our purpose and mission as a church. The heart of it is coming to the recognition of our own resourcelessness. No matter how gifted we may be, how much experience we may have, how much money we've piled up, God is not mocking those gifts that he has given to us. God is not saying that he can't use our brains or our talents or our resources, but basically he's saying, and he does it lovingly, he really doesn't need a thing. And we need to understand that God is not being condescending at that point. He is just omniscient, omnipotent, God who doesn't need a thing that we can bring to the program. The only thing is that he has chosen to work through people like you and me and use us in terms of advancing and establishing his kingdom. In fact, we can't function any other way in reality. And since God has confined himself of his own choice to working through people, the greatest difficulty that he has is finding people who come to him to learn, and that he's not using them because he needs what they've got, but he is using them because he made up his mind that this is how he's going to work in this world. I want you to understand this truth. God made you. God made me. Therefore, who we are, who you are as a person, comes from God in reality. God made us. Therefore, our purpose comes from God as well. And when you understand that truth and you come to that revelation, you begin to understand something. So he says to Moses, you bring the people here, and in the atmosphere of worship, they're going to begin to see. And the fact is that later on, the people do come to know who Moses is when he says, who am I? Moses comes to know who he is. In the atmosphere of worship, people discover their identity, and they also discover their purpose. When you come to God in worship, you begin to understand who you are and what you are to be doing in this life. Worship brings that revelation. And the two great questions that everybody wants to know, who am I and what am I to do with my life, are discovered in worship. Where did I come from? Where am I going? Identity and purpose are learned in coming to the Lord and walking with him in humility and worship. Now, when we do that, the fulfillment, the release of God's purpose in us begins to occur. By release, I mean unlocking all of an individual's creative potential and intended purpose. That's exactly what happens to Moses. He says, who am I to do this? Now, you talk about creativity. This guy will write songs. He will write books. There will be a manifestation of God's creativity through him in the construction of the tabernacle. He probably became a painter, and he is definitely good as an architect and a blueprint doer. He will design a center of worship that will become the throbbing heartbeat of God's operation here on earth in a few years. That's creativity. He will become the best-known emancipator in human history. He will deliver an entire nation, and that even tops Abraham Lincoln. Moses becomes a great leader. He also comes to understand the purpose and power of God in him. He does discover his identity and his purpose to be that emancipator, that deliverer, and it all comes about in time, but it all starts with a guy who, in the middle of a wilderness experience, just keeping sheep, bewildered by what the events of the preceding years of his life have done to him and have been, and when he tried to do his best, and it didn't work out very well, he's now on a dead-end street, you might say, when he sees that bush, but he is having a life-changing encounter with God on holy ground. By the way, the holy ground is a worship center. That was a worship experience. Worship brings revelation. Embed that in your mind. Now, Moses is now standing in front of a bush, and God gives a message as clear as it can be made that God has a program that neither results in human beings burned up in frustration, anger, bitterness, tension, despair, or whatever that burns us up. And that when the fire of God comes upon a person, it accomplishes the intended objective without destroying the person. Moses says, "Who am I?" And we say the same thing, "Who am I?" God says, "Look, I will be with you. You bring the people here, and once they begin to worship me, then they will see who I am." And God doesn't say this to him, but he could have. He could have said, "And by the way, Moses, you're going to find out who you really are and what your life is really all about." And they do, and Moses does find that out. The Lord says to each of us, when you come to discover who I am, then you will come to find out who you are and what you are about as well. Now, the keystone of all living is worship. Not a worship service. Now, what we do on Sunday morning is we are, those of us who are leaders up here, are trying to invoke a worshipful setting or environment. But the worship happens in you and me. We come here to worship together. Sometimes that gets done, but sometimes we're just going through ritualistic motion. Worship is the keystone of all living, and it can happen in a worship setting like this, but worship is what you give to God through Jesus Christ. And God wants to bring us and take us and shake us down until we get down to the basic elements of what he can really work in us and through us. And with Moses, he takes a stuttering old shepherd in the wilderness who became the deliverer of a nation. It was because he learned the way of moving out of depending upon himself, where he was burned up and burned out, into the place where he encounters a God who said, "Now listen, my glory can come upon you and my power can work around and through you and it won't destroy you." And that's what he says to you and to me. And that's who you really are. And that's what your life is to be about. Anyway, Moses at the age of 80 is less likely to think it is his own energy that's going to get the job done than when he was 40. And God says, let's go on and deliver Israel. And they did. And when they delivered them, the first thing that they did was they come back to the mountain, and for 15 months they learned how to worship. It centered around a tabernacle and a place where they learned what God was like and how to worship Him. You know, the Ten Commandments was not what Mount Sinai was all about. It happened, but that happened in a matter of minutes, you might say. And I'm not minimizing those commandments, but that's not what Mount Sinai was all about. It was about worship. For 15 months, these people were in one location learning to worship God, and when they began to worship Him, they began to understand who they were as God's people, and then they were going to move out. Worship brings revelation. And as there comes revelation, there comes self-disclosure. You understand who He is, and then you find out who you are or who we are. And I can tell you one thing, friends. There are many of us who have no question about our basic commitment to the Lord Jesus. We love the Lord Jesus in truth, but the fact of the matter is we wonder how He is going to get done in us what He wants to get done. Now, as a church, we went through this process of finding out who we are back in 2008 to 2010 when we were moving here. God revealed to us who we are and what we're about, and we discovered our identity and purpose. We found out that we were already doing and being what God wanted us to be. Now, some of us are now here since then, and some of us you've joined since then, and some of us need a refresher course in terms of who we are. This is who we are. We are a lampstand church. Now, a lampstand is not the light. A lampstand holds the light. We are one of God's lampstand churches, and we are to get that light up off the ground so that it be seen at greater distances than just locally. Most churches have the light, but they have the light on the ground, you might say, the air around them, because that's where they are working in terms of that light. Their ministry is very local in terms of the immediate area around their congregation. We are a lampstand church. We get the light up off the ground, folks. We have projected that light. Let me give you a few examples. We projected that light to Jacksonville, Florida, to Naperville, Illinois, to Bloomington, Illinois, to New Albany, Indiana, to Sarasota, Florida, to Bonita Springs, Florida, to Cuesta, Florida, to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and a host of other places through the Great Banquet. And some of us even survived the Elohim Great Banquet. Oh, that was something. We have taken the light and we have projected it into Taylorville Prison and into the Decatur Correctional Prison. We have a group of people that are going to Boston in a few weeks. Why are we taking the light to Boston? Because 12 years ago, we took the light to Vienna, Virginia, and we started a great banquet out there. And that is how we got to Boston. We project the light to other places. This fall, our new Presbyterian denomination are going to be exposed to the light that we carry when they meet here in October. Who knows what that will mean down the road? We are a lampstand church. We get the light up off the ground so people can see it in distant places. And some come to see what that light means. And when they do, God usually will speak to them about their identity and purpose as well in Him. God usually will speak to them about their identity and purpose. We have discovered our identity through worship, and our purpose came out of that worship. God has got it done in us, you might say. But there is always a big if as to whether it will continue. He will continue to do it through us if We are humble, obedient, and we come to Him and worship, and we seek His continual guidance and purpose for us. If we do that, He will get done in us by showing us more and more of Himself, but the only way that what He sets out to accomplish in us is going to continue getting done as us if we're open to it, and we come in humility, and we come in worship. Now, that's not that we learn new things necessarily, even though they may be great teachings. It is only as we open ourselves up to more and more of Him and become obedient, submissive, and humble before Him. This applies individually as well as collectively as a church. God has a group of sheep which has chosen to be called the Lampstand Church of Decatur, Illinois, and God wants to give us more of the kingdom so that we can continue to be deliverers to advance and establish the kingdom of God that He is giving us, and we get the light up off the ground. But we become people who bring the kingdom to others. He says to us, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And He wants us to move up and move out as He gives us our purpose and our identity. But it comes through the priority of worship, where we discover who He is and how He works, so that we can figure out who we are and what our purpose here in life really is, both individually and collectively. And worship is part of that, and it is a fundamental of our Christian life. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would, when we come before you in worship, that you would give us revelation of yourself and who we are as your people. In Jesus' name.